Hello, good day to you wherever you are. My name is Edmond Sena Anulochu. Welcome to Laudio. Equity. Let's look at injunctions, the meaning and scope of an injunction. Now, an injunction is an order of court directed at a party to do or refrain from doing a specified act. Unlike common law remedies, which act on the property or thing of the person, which means it acts in rem, injunction is an equitable remedy and for this reason acts on the person, that means it acts in personam. An injunction may be issued when the conduct of a party to a dispute is likely to cause an injury to his opponent, which may not be adequately compensated by an award of damages. It is for this reason that an injunction may be sought by a party to a dispute even when his opponent threatens to carry out an act that may injure his interest. An injunction may also be obtained by a party to a dispute when the case is pending in court in order to maintain or preserve the status quo until the final pronouncement of the rights of the parties is made. Whenever an injunction is issued by the court for the purpose of protecting some right in property, it is usually directed not only at the party, but also at his agents, workmen, successors, and assigns. When a party disobeys the court's order of injunction, he will be pronounced guilty of contempt of court, an offense that is punishable by committal to prison until the contemnor purges his contempt by an apology and a promise of future compliance with the order. An injunction is therefore an effective remedy even against wealthy and difficult litigants who may hope to resist in their disobedience and just pay fines which they would hardly feel. Being an equitable remedy, the grant of an injunction is purely discretionary. Thus, the grant of an injunction is a judicial discretion that is exercised in accordance with the principles common to all equitable reliefs, in that its exercise is subject to all the frailties of equitable rights and remedies. As a prerequisite or a condition for the grant of an injunction, the applicant or plaintiff must establish a right which is to be protected by the injunction. This right is usually established at the conclusion of a substantive suit, which ends in favor of the applicant or the plaintiff. In addition to the establishment of a right, the applicant or plaintiff must show that his right as established has been violated or is threatened by a violation by the defendant. It is therefore worth noting that an injunction will therefore not be granted just because the applicant or plaintiff desires it. An injunction may be either perpetual or interlocutory. An injunction may also be prohibitory or mandatory. An injunction is prohibitory or restrictive if it enjoins the defendant to abstain or refrain from a particular act, and an injunction is mandatory if it requires the defendant to do a particular act. The courts exercise their power to issue injunctions judiciously and only when the necessity arises. Factors a judge may consider in granting an injunction. A judge may consider in the exercise of judicial discretion in granting an injunction the following: adequate damages. The first factor a judge may consider in granting an order of injunction is adequate damages, where the violation of the plaintiff's rights can be adequately compensated by the award of damages. The judge may refuse to award an order of injunction. However, where the subject matter of the contract is unique like a plot of land, the judge may grant an order of injunction against the defendant to, for example, refrain from encroaching onto the plaintiff's land, since no two pieces of land are the same, and the loss of same may not be adequately compensated. 2. Minor injury. Another factor a judge may consider in granting an order of injunction is extent of damage or injury. Where the injury caused to the plaintiff is a minor one or the injury is not crucial to the exercise of discretion, the judge may refuse to grant an order of injunction. In that case, the judge may consider whether defendant's act is trivial or is merely a technical one without any resultant injury. 3, difficulty of compliance. The third factor a judge may consider is difficulty of compliance. The court may not order the defendant to do the impossible. In that case, the fact that it will be difficult and expensive for the defendant to carry out the order may be a reason for refusing to grant the application for an order of injunction. The difficulty of compliance can, however, be properly considered as a factor in the exercise of the court's discretion if the difficulty was not deliberately created by the defendant. A self-induced impossibility of compliance or difficulty arising from an intentional conduct cannot constitute a defense to an equitable relief. In the case of Morris and Redland Bricks Limited, the defendant damaged plaintiff's land through his excavations, and the damage caused to the land had caused the plaintiff to lose about £600. However, in order to shore up the land or backfill the land, it will cost the defendant £35,000. An application for an injunction was refused by the court due to the difficulty of compliance. The fourth thing or factor a judge may consider before exercising his discretionary power to grant an order of injunction is an undertaking by the defendant. Whether the defendant gives a satisfactory undertaking to abstain from the acts which are the subject matter of the plaintiff's complaint, an application for injunction may be refused. This is because the whole purpose of an injunction is to ensure that an annoyance or injury committed by the defendant ceases. So once an injunction is made to that effect and the court deems it sufficient, an application for injunction may be refused. The fifth thing or factor a judge may consider is seizure of annoyance. Where the annoyance or the conduct or act complained of by the plaintiff ceases before the application for an injunction is heard in court, and there is no likelihood or the intention of its resumption, the application for injunction may be dismissed, though possibly with costs awarded against the defendant. In the case of CFC Construction Company and Accra City Council, the plaintiffs brought an action against the defendants for damages and an interim injunction to restrain them, their agents or servants from dumping garbage and refuse near their property. The defendant counsel had been dumping garbage and refuse in a quarry in the defendant's residential area at Tessano, and the plaintiffs alleged that this had caused offensive and pestilential smell from vapors in the area, and that the stench emanating from the refuse had seriously interfered with their comfort and well-being. The counsel having denied having caused any nuisance and contended that the acts complained of were grounded on statutory authority conferred on the council by sections 47(2) and 48(1)(e) of the Local Government Act 1961, Act 54, and section 3(1) and 2 of the Mosquitoes Ordinance, Cap 75, 1951. The counsel further argued that by the time the trial came on for hearing, the smell had ceased and that the quarry would be completely filled within a short time, and therefore a mere temporary interference with the plaintiff's comfort in the past should not be actionable. The application for injunction was dismissed. Archer J. observed as follows: my decision not to grant an injunction was for the following reasons. First of all, Dr. Stafford, the medical officer of health, in his evidence assured the court that the quarry would be completely filled by the middle of this month, and I hope that the quarry has been filled and that to some extent the nuisance has been abated, unquote. The sixth thing or factor a judge may consider in conduct is the conduct of the plaintiff. The conduct of the plaintiff before and at the hearing of the application may be considered by the judge because it is a fundamental postulate of equity that he who comes into equity must come with clean hands. As a result of this equitable maxim, the misconduct of the plaintiff may affect his application for an injunction. In the case of Armstrong and Shepherd and Short Limited, the plaintiff misled the court by representing that he had not given an oral permission for the defendant to be on his land. The court held that his misconduct was a reasonable ground for the refusal of an injunction to remove the defendant from his land. Similarly, the grant of an injunction may be refused because of laches and or acquiescence on the part of the applicant. Thank you for listening. See you on the next podcast.